We've still got a great program for you tonight. By the way, last hour I had mentioned that Hawaii and Alaska did not participate in the 1960 election. I was wrong. They did. They just squeaked in. They had minuscule electoral votes, but they were counted. Just want you to know. We're going to come back in a moment with Lauren Rainbow as we talk about intuitiveness, communicating with the other side. She'll even do readings later on for you. We'll tell you what to do and what kind of questions she's looking for later in that hour. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Lauren Rainbow with us. First time, Lauren is a professional psychic medium, spiritual teacher, healer, who has been working passionately for more than 19 years on all this. She's toured the U.S. and Canada, has had numerous overseas group visits to sacred sites in India, Mexico, Peru, Egypt. And as a teacher, Lauren empowers her students to develop their own intuitive gifts. Her joy, her passion and energy and heart-centered spirit messages have touched the hearts of thousands of people that have seen her demonstrate her extraordinary mediumship. You'll get a glimpse of that tonight, too. Lauren, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me. I'm beyond honored to be here tonight.
I'm looking forward to this, and this is your first time, but let's hope it's the first time of many, okay?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
I got to believe this started for you when you were a little girl. Am I right?
Absolutely. You are right. And I think for many of us who have a sense of, you know, feeling intuitive or psychic, we've always had something happen as a child that definitely opens the door for us.
Was it hereditary? I mean, did your mother have it or your grandmother?
You know, it's so funny that I do believe that parts of our family do. My father's side, my dad had it in a way. I really did not actually know this until he passed away almost 17 years ago. And I kind of came out of the spiritual closet to him on his way in transition. And he had said, "You have it too." So I learned that it does run in the rainbow side of my family.
Did it ever scare you, this ability?
You know, in that when it really came to light for me in my 20s, you know, that's where it started to come in very strong, George. You know, life is so synchronistic. At the time, I was living in a retired funeral home in Massachusetts.
Oh, my God.
The spirit started to come in very strong for me. And so when that first shift happened, it was a little overwhelming, and I was grateful to be curious enough to seek out what was happening and get a better understanding. So, you know, scary, maybe not quite the right word, but definitely made me think twice and gave me a sense of what supernatural really feels like.
Whereabouts in Massachusetts did you grow up?
Well, I'm actually originally from New Hampshire. I live up in the north part near Canada. I had moved down to Massachusetts in my early 20s. I lived in Lowell when I was living in the funeral home. So I've kind of bounced around New England now for my life.
One of my first radio jobs was at a radio station in Detroit, and the station was in a old funeral home.
Felt a lot of energy there.
And it, in the basement is where they embalm the bodies. And I got to tell you, Lauren, every once in a while when we were working the late shift and there was just two or three of us in the entire building, you could hear that elevator shaft where the bodies would go up and down. You could hear that move. It was weird.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, sorry, George, you clicked out for a second.
Oh, okay, but I was in an old funeral home at a radio station.
Yes, and you were saying in the basement is where you were feeling all the energy, or that space was unique, right?
That's where they embalmed the bodies.
Yes, and here in where I lived in Massachusetts, it was very much the same. We had this old Victorian home that we lived in, and down in the basement was where they did all, you know, the embalming on the bodies, and they still had stuff down there, even though it had been turned into a place to live that still had some old treasures from back in the day.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about intuition, we're going to talk about the spirit guides, mediumship, how you work, and then we'll take calls next hour. What would you say, for you personally, has been the best form of exercise to get into this mode with the things you do now? How did you train yourself to get better and better?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I first had started to feel spirit connect with me back almost 20 years ago now, I just decided that I had a choice. Either I go to a psychiatrist and get help, or I try to understand what was happening with me psychically. And synchronistic life moments introduced me to somebody who brought me to my first psychic development class. And we sat together in circle, and we would, you know, practice trying to receive information and learn about how our voices, our spiritual voices work, you know, understanding if it's our clairs, as we say, clairvoyant, clairsentient, or a simpler term may be, do we feel, do we know, do we see things? So in that early stage, I did a little bit of psychic development, but I was also brought to a metaphysical shop. My life was, like so many, changed at 9/11, and I was introduced into a metaphysical world very deeply at that time. And I trained a lot in healing work as well, so Reiki, shamanic training, and other healing modalities, which also expanded what I was feeling and sensing. It kind of turned everything up really loud. So I did a lot of self-taught work at that point. Back in that early 2000s, as we know, John Edward was one of the first mediums on TV with Crossing Over, and I would watch him and go, I understand how he's doing that. And so I would just start to sit with people and on my own and try to work psychically and with spirit with them. And it was until about 5 years later that I started to do formal development of sitting in circles with other mediums. I journeyed to England in 2011 to the famous Arthur Findlay College and trained more there as well. So a lot of my development has been through sitting with other mediums and classes and having that opportunity to really open up there.
And you learned from other mediums then?
Absolutely. I've learned from some wonderful folks. I've, you know, connected with wonderful psychic medium John Holland, I know you've had on, and, you know, been blessed to be developing with some really well-known people out there to, you know, and working with other mediums is so important to developing because we all work different. And so when you get to sit beside each other and practice, you kind of learn a little bit from each other how unique we are and also stronger ways of creating stronger links with spirit.
Well, let's talk first about intuition. In your opinion, what is intuition?
I always say intuition, the way I break it down is intuition is our inner navigation system. So the way I see it, George, is in many ways we all have intuitive abilities. We're all sensing our world around us and, you know, we're beginning to feel and assess energies of others around us. And sometimes we get that inner voice or a knowing for some people or that gut instinct that we should dive into this awesome opportunity, or maybe we should avoid something that's coming our way. So to me, intuition is our inner voice, our inner guidance system that's always helping you try to navigate this world as best as possible. And the more that we open ourselves to our intuition, I really feel like we can create more fluid movement in our lives, better choices, you know, that come our way. So that's how I would break out, down the intuitive voice.
Well, that's important, too, what you just said, and that is to open yourself up to it, because how many people, Lauren, have these great intuitive feelings and they don't react to it or they don't act on it?
We all do. And I always say, even though I've been doing this for a long time, and I always say I feel blessed to live a life that's very fluid and, you know, synchronistic, as we're talking about in many ways, I still make choices, George, that I should have known better. You know, my instinct said, maybe I shouldn't do this, and I dive in anyway. And I tell folks that it's okay sometimes if we don't quite listen to that inner voice. You're still making a choice to have a lesson of some form in your life, you know? So, yeah, we all make those moments where we feel it and we don't listen to it, for sure.
It's the old woulda, coulda, right?
Yes, exactly.
Can you use your intuition to make your life a little more palatable?
Absolutely. I feel that, you know, the more aware we all become, and, you know, we're in a great shift right now. I've seen in my work, you know, as we're coming into a new world, in a way, you know, more and more people are feeling, they're sensing, they're becoming more sensitive. So a lot of times traumatic events or big, you know, life shifts, you know, being a medium, I also see that sometimes when people experience a great loss of a loved one, their intuition becomes a bit more sensitive or a bit more open. So we always have opportunities to deepen that connection. It's a lifelong practice. It's never perfect. But it really is something that can create, I like how you said palatable, it can make your life just a little bit more at ease. And sometimes I have a different comfort in knowing that I feel more connected and have made some really sometimes decisions in my life that I may not yet know the outcome, even though my intuition is telling me something. And then sometimes you go, okay, I'm going to make this decision because it doesn't feel right, or maybe it feels amazing. And then, you know, 3 months down the road, you go, aha, now I know why.
And I would guess that intuitive people, Lauren, are a little more successful, maybe happier. What do you think?
I would like to agree with that. You know, I think when you're balanced in your intuition and you allow it to live in synchronicity with your life, sometimes the most famous people in the world and the most successful people in the world have a strong intuition and even a strong, you know, spiritual or meditative practice. So it can be very natural for many people to trust that. I think a lot of folks may not even know that when they're trusting their gut, or you might say, oh, that person has a great gut instinct. Really, they have a great intuition, but they may not be using that same vocabulary.
Interesting take. Now, can you develop your intuition, or do you have to really just be born with it?
Well, it's something, as I said too, George, I think we all have it, and to develop it is absolutely possible. And I know that I've had to kind of become more aware and strengthen my abilities. So for me, I do believe we can all have it naturally, but you can also develop it more, become more conscious of it, and ground it more, because sometimes there can be intuitive folks who maybe are super sensitive. I'm sure some folks out there listening may be, you know, feeling intuitive but sensitive, and to me that's just a sense of not having a strong yet of development and grounding. So your intuition can be developed, it can be enhanced, and it can also be grounded, so you're not overly sensitive but still feeling your way around the world.
Give us an example, Lauren, if you can, on how somebody has used their intuition and it helped them, whether it's you or anybody.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most recent moments in my life, you know, came just before we had this pandemic. And I was telling you a second ago that sometimes we make a decision based on our feelings, not yet knowing the outcome. And in October of 2019, I do sacred journeys. I bring groups of people to wonderful sites in the world. And I had a journey planned for a group to go to India in the beginning of March of 2020. Uh-oh. And in October of 2019, I could feel for a good 2 weeks like something's not right. This journey doesn't feel right. I also had a journey planned for Egypt in February of 2020. And I kept checking in like, that feels fine, but this one doesn't feel right. So I canceled this journey. For some reason, my body was just, don't do this. And the minute I canceled the journey without understanding, I felt an instant relief. I'm like, okay, something is shifting here. And then lo and behold, a few months later, we were at the beginning of locking down our country at that time. So I had this weird foresight to let go of this journey, not understanding why, and it saved me a lot of challenges and, you know, maybe canceling a journey at the last minute with people perhaps going to India with me at the middle of an outbreak. So, you know, there's a good example of learning to trust what you feel, and that our intuition can speak very loudly to us when something is just not right. I think it's so important to sit with that and listen to why your body may not understand what's going on. And to just add a little bit to that, George, I've seen so much in my work last year with clients about people making weird decisions to change a job or to move at the beginning of 2020, right before the pandemic had started. So many people knew that something was shifting, even though we possibly couldn't fathom what that really was going to look like.
Let's talk about spiritual navigation. What is that?
Yes. I'm a big person about spiritual navigation, and what really that is for me is, you know, there's so much out there in the world of spiritual development. Lots of different people teaching many different things, from psychic development, mediumship, you know, healing work, channeling. And I always say you need to have a healthy mind about this world that we live in. I would love to say that many of the mediums that we have up there are authentic and real, and sometimes there are folks who are not. And sometimes we have teachers who maybe don't have the best interest at heart. So spiritual navigation to me is learning to be in control of your spiritual world and your development, learning to trust, you know, what feels right, who to learn from, who feels authentic to you, and also being willing to recognize that sometimes you may be in a situation that doesn't feel right or healthy spiritually. So spiritual navigation is about, you know, taking that time to really have a discerning eye to the world of spiritual development and self-help, and make sure that what you're learning and what you're, the people that you're studying from are authentic, they're real, and they have your best interest at heart, and that you learn to trust yourself in that way.
Now, by doing this, though, what does that do for you personally?
In terms of having a healthy spiritual navigation,
yes.
It just gives you a sense, because I believe that we should learn as much as we can. I've studied many different faiths and religions, and I've learned from so many, not just mediums, but so many spiritual teachers. And I feel blessed to have worked with shamans around the world. So having healthy navigation just helps you know that your development is honoring who you are, and that you're not sitting with people who may be creating limitation around you. And to me, this is, it just helps us develop and allows us to be open and trusting our intuition and trusting the people who are guiding us is so key to having a healthy relationship with your intuitive self and also with the spiritual world and development. So for me, I've had unfortunate circumstances in my early years where maybe I was a little naive and overly excited about developing, that I may have put myself around teachers who didn't have my best interest at heart. And I feel grateful that I was able to feel through this and go, something doesn't feel right here, and to step away from what may have been more harmful situations for my development that could have led me down some wrong roads or misguided me and put me down and connected with people who were better, more supportive, and more authentic.
And with this kind of spirituality, I mean, what can it enhance you to do? Because sometimes people overdo it, don't they?
Absolutely. I have myself. I always say my first 4 years were like going through college. I was definitely blessed with a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
And you know, part of spiritual navigation, George, I think is so key, is that you take pieces a little bit at a time. And that I'm always one who says, as a teacher, you know, not everything I say is going to resonate with you. So I always give, for example, my students permission to not receive something that doesn't feel right to them. That everything that we're learning spiritually is also in many cases based on a theory. And while, especially in the mediumship side, we work to bring in evidential information. Some of the work that's out there isn't necessarily evidence-based. So you really have to, again, trust what you're feeling, have that healthy sense of what's going on, and not being afraid to maybe not receive something that doesn't resonate with you. In spiritual terms or in intuitive terms, you know, we're all as beautifully unique as your fingerprint in the way that we receive and connect with information. And so as you go down the world of learning more about who you are spiritually, it's so important that you're the one who defines that, and that nobody really in the ultimate end defines who you are.
Lauren, when we come back at the bottom of the hour, let's talk about some sacred sites and then mediumship, and then how we can get back into this mode as well. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your calls next hour with Lauren Rainbow. In addition to your questions, she'll do a reading for you. All you have to do is ask her a specific question. If you have a question about a dearly departed, you can also chat with her about that as well. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Lauren Rainbow with us. Her website is her name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. She has a book out, too, called The Mediumship Training Deck, 50 Practical Tools for Developing Your Connection to the Other Side. The Art of Journeying Through Sacred Sites. When you talk about sacred sites, Lauren, what do you mean?
And I think you will probably have a lot in common with this. Sacred sites to me are some of the most ancient temples and spiritual sites around the world. Everything from the pyramids of Giza, the Great Sphinx, the Teotihuacan pyramids, sacred sites around Peru and in India. So a lot of those old ancient places that have amazing power sources to them.
So they're physical locations.
Absolutely, yes. You know, one of the most interesting things for me is when we go back, George, when you were asking me about, you know, being intuitive as a young child, one of the very first things that I was attracted to in as a young child was being fascinated by places like Stonehenge and, again, the Great Pyramids. I was a child of the early 80s, so there was a series of books on TV. One of them was called Mystic Places. I remember telling my mom at about 4 years old going, I need this book. and she lovingly got that for me. And right away, I dove into understanding the energy of some of the most mystical places in the world. So for me, these amazing sacred sites also have amazing senses of power, which is why I believe a lot of our ancient, ascended masters or ancient ancestors built these powerful temples on some of these hot spots in the world to draw us to them so that we can connect with their great energy.
What creates the power and the energy? Where they're located or how they built them?
I think it's a bit of both. You know, I believe that we have, you know, a system of energy in the earth. Most people would refer to that as the ley lines. And as we've studied a lot of these ancient sites, they are built on what is known as powerful sources of energy within, you know, this energetic grid line within the earth. And then some of the structures, especially the pyramids, having been there, not necessarily, and I think that we see, you know, a lot of curiosity on the scientific side of this, but on the spiritual side, having been to some of these most amazing places, they definitely resonate with energy. And I particularly feel that the shape of the pyramids were designed in a very specific way to help raise some of that power up from the earth and connect it above and bring that back down. I've also been to some unique places like Nazca, Peru, which, you know, being
that was Eric Von Daniken's big area.
Yes, exactly. And one of my very first, extraterrestrial, I'll say, moments happened at Nazca, Peru when I first went there almost 20 years ago. And I was new to this work. I was still in the early stages of understanding my intuition and my abilities as a medium. And I remember being flying over the lines of Nazca and feeling such a unique out of this world energy that almost put me, you know, energetically in two places. I would say I was almost bilocated, if you will. So I was somewhat present with the real world in the moment of being in the plane and seeing these lines, but also feeling way out of my body and in a whole other realm. And Peru, for me, having been there a few times now, is definitely one of the most, you know, unique energetic places in the world.
What does it do to an individual when you go there and you see the pyramids or the Nazca lines? Does it give you some kind of energy boost?
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, we all have different callings probably to different parts of the world growing up, George, and maybe even in your own way. Has there ever been a place that you dreamed of going or you don't know why you want to get there? For me, Egypt was my loudest calling as a young child. So part of what attracted me to that older book, that Mystic Places, was the image of the pyramid and the Sphinx. My mother, God bless her, raising a unique child, would say that I was drawing the pyramids before I even knew what they were. I would always sketch three pyramids together. And so she kind of thought, this is very strange. And so I remember the very first time I went to Egypt, I felt like I was home. I just, a part of my soul as I was landing in the plane just went, here we are, we're home. So I believe each person, though, has unique callings to different places. So some people may be drawn more to Egypt. Some people may be drawn more to Peru. Easter Island, for some reason, I need to get to at some point. It's on my bucket list. And there's two things I believe that happen here when I say travel in a sacred way. So on the journeys that I do, we gather groups of people who are looking for an enlightened experience. Egypt is one of my more popular journeys where we bring people to the pyramids, again, the Sphinx, a lot of the temples to the different deities. And they can open us up and awaken us in ways that maybe we remember parts of who we were. I know the first time I went to Egypt was in 2010, and I came back and my life had transformed so much that I was able to become a solo spiritual entrepreneur and really boost myself out in this work. I've had some people feel drawn to England and many of the places there like Stonehenge and Tintagel. So to me, we can be opened and awakened uniquely in these places. We can have, I've seen and supported many people through powerful shifts where maybe they're having a life awakening moment. I had one in Teo that really transformed me in terms of letting go of old thought patterns and stepping into a new way of thinking. And, you know, the other aspect of these sacred sites and traveling in a sacred way for me is also bringing love back to the earth and bringing our ability to send healing and care to our planet through these hotspots as well. So it's a twofold reason for me and why we travel on these sacred journeys, for enlightenment of ourselves, for bringing healing around the world and to the earth herself.
Lauren, how many of these hotspots were created by extraterrestrials?
That's a good question.
That's a $64,000 question.
Right? You know, and I can tell you of the ones that I've been to, I believe, and as we know from our ancient alien, you know, backgrounds, you know, this all theory, but from what I have felt, I would say the majority of these hotspots, if not all of them, have some connection to the beyond, to the outer world, to the universe. I definitely know that, as I said, Nazca, Stonehenge for me had a very, I say, extraterrestrial feeling. I've been inside the Great Pyramid of Giza in the King's Chamber and have definitely felt some, you know, powerful energy there. And one of the most fascinating places energetically for me is also Abydos, the temple to Osiris in Egypt. I also feel has a great source of ET energy about it as well. But I believe they all do in many ways. Some to me, I hope this makes sense for folks out there, I think are very earth-based creation or are very much created by our shamans, where they bring a lot of energy. So the vortices of Sedona to me have a very earth-based feeling, but also still connect outward, but maybe don't have as electric of an ET energy. And Mount Shasta is another place I have been to that definitely has some really fantastic, phenomenal out there energy as well.
Now, you're also a medium. How did that happen?
In terms of waking up to spirit, see, the one thing I would say is I would almost say a progressive medium, in the sense that I believe as mediums are evolving. So becoming a medium was something obviously born within me, but I believe it's also part of the ability that helps me sense and feel the different energies in these sacred sites. I use the word sacred sites because I believe that the energies also, while they may be extraterrestrial in nature, are still very sacred and should be honored and respected in terms of how they help us here. But the medium in me is where I am able to sense and feel. And the word medium, George, really is, you know, by definition in a dictionary, is a tool, not just a size. you know, like a paintbrush for the artist is a medium. And so as a medium, we step into being the in-between of the spirit, the universe, the other realms, and those here in the living. Part of my work as a spiritual medium is to specifically connect with departed loved ones, but I do know that my abilities have also helped me sense and feel in some of these sacred sites some of the energies that protect these lands as well. So stepping into the tool in between whatever that is in the other realms to those that link here in the living.
And by touching the other side, by connecting with the other side, isn't there a danger, Lauren, of letting some kind of bad energy or entity through and they get over here?
Yeah, for me, George, no. I think it's all about how we want to perceive the world. Now, I won't lie and say that there certainly isn't dark, I don't want to even use the word darker energy, but deeper energies out there. But I always say the medium I was 20 years ago and who I am now, we've evolved into a different way of thinking because as a young medium, I would have had a lot of fear, fear of being, you know, harmed in a way energetically. But what I've really come to learn in my work as a medium is that those that love us in spirit are definitely here in a place of love and light. And the only protection we need is the understanding that if we walk in the space of the light, we will always be blessed with that. And we don't feel harmed by the negative. You know, it's our ability to be mentally healthy and to be aware. But when I've traveled around, I would definitely tell you I've certainly felt some places that may have been a bit deeper in their energy and would be something I wouldn't necessarily open myself up super loud to just not allow myself to connect deep to something I don't really agree or like in the energy.
Lauren Rainbow with us. We're going to take calls at the top of the hour with her as we talk about mediumship, the psychic realm, intuitiveness, or if you want a general reading, what do you need from folks? Just a question, Lauren?
Just so that we can help as many people as possible, if you can give me as specific an area of focus, so whether that be love, career, money, family, or a connection to a loved one in spirit, it will just help me dive right in.
All right, super. Have you ever met a medium you didn't like?
I've certainly come across some folks that I don't believe have been authentic in their work, George, for sure.
Now, how do you know that? How does somebody listening to this program, and I'm not saying it's you, but I mean, how do they cut through that and decide who's real, who isn't?
I think that when you're looking to connect with a medium or a psychic, to me, the truer, more authentic ones, we're not here to define you. Even when we do psychic readings tonight, I think it's important to know that when we look at your future, we're seeing your potential and that you have the power to still make changes and choices in your life. I would avoid those who maybe want to, you know, I kind of say there's psychics out there who like to take control. So they may say to you, you have a curse. Let me meditate for you. Let me pray for you. They may charge you tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars to remove negative energies.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and unfortunately exists out there. And to me, these are the ones that are inauthentic and are only looking to harm you. So, you know, authentic mediums only want to support you. We all have to make money, you know, to survive doing this work. So there would be charges, but you really want to avoid those who may tell you that you have a curse, that you're surrounded by negative energy, and that that psychic has the power to remove that from you. And that comes back to George when you're asking me about, you know, am I worried about having negative energy? I always say a curse is only as powerful as the power you want to give it. So it's really important that if you're out there seeking, to seek, and that goes back to spiritual navigation, seek with a healthy mind. Know that you're always in control and that you have the power to see your, you know, change and focus your future and really avoid those who want to take advantage of you.
If you were interviewing a medium for yourself, what are some of the questions you'd ask them?
I love that, and I've been doing interviews with mediums on my Instagram. I'm always curious to understand how each one of us has been inspired to step up and do this work. This is a calling. It's to be a professional or to work in a way that is of service. is absolutely a calling, and how we all got there is so unique. So I'm always intrigued and ask, you know, what inspired you to step up to be of service? And I always believe that we evolve, and that part of our work as spiritual beings is constant evolution. As I had said to you, who I was 20 years ago and who I am now are so different. So I always like to ask different psychic and mediums, how did they start? What did that look like? And how has it evolved and changed over the years or grown for them? I always find that very fascinating.
That is, indeed it is. Well, it's a fascinating area that you're in. Remember the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg?
I do.
Does that happen to you? Do they jump into you, these spirits?
Never. We can get very close to them, and they can get to the point when I'm sometimes on stage in a large room demonstrating spirit, where they can draw very close and lightly influence me. So sometimes if I'm in a really strong way of spirit, I can feel their personality. I might take a posture where maybe I'll put my hand on my hip and act like their mom it's important that people know that they're not inside of me. They have not taken me over. They've just drawn close enough, and I'm sensitive enough to slightly mold into the energy, but still be very much in my ground and in control at all times.
Super. Lauren, where can people get your book? Where can people track you down?
Absolutely. You can find more about me at laurenrainbow.com. And the mediumship training deck is an incredible deck where we have several cards. I co-authored with John Holland. We have several cards about developing your intuition, your psychic, and your mediumship. So if you're curious to learn more, you can get that through links on my website, laurenrainbow.com, or at Hay House. Inc.com as well.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the power of heart awareness and then take your phone calls, questions about the mediumship, questions about intuition, questions about a dearly departed one. Just be specific, and Lauren will do the best she can with you. Lauren Rainbow, our special guest right here on Coast to Coast AM. We shall be right back. Don't touch your dial.